From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
We're live. Here we are. 30th day of January, 2011, on this Sunday edition. We'll be here for the next 2 hours, as we are every Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. In studio, Dr. Andrew Wakefield will be joining us. He was in just a few weeks ago in studio because he's an Austinite. And the doctor of the stomach and the intestines, I won't give you the technical name, will be joining us again in studio. He, of course, exposed many years ago the connection between autism and the MMR vaccine, also Crohn's disease and different types of vaccines. And they wrote hit pieces for the British Medical Journal against him. And it turns out that is more propaganda, and he's demanded a retraction. Dr. Wakefield demands retraction from British Medical Journal after documents prove innocence from allegations of vaccine autism data fraud. And of course, they never had any evidence. They just ran around like chickens with their heads cut off, screaming fraud. And now in over 30 countries, they've duplicated exactly what Dr. Andrew Wakefield found going back close to two decades ago. So he'll be joining us in studio today. Of course, he's been saying it was a fraud from day one. We know that autism was 1 in 25,000, and then 1 in 2,000, and then 1 in 1,000, 1 in 200, 1 in 168, 1 out of 96, and now in boys, 1 out of 54. And that's the federal government's own admissions. The brain damage is ultra massive, and I've had countless other medical doctors on, including brain surgeons, neurologists, and others, finding the same inflammation hitting the stomach and the intestines hitting the brain. So, and it turns out a lot of these big universities, they were already aware. That's what the new information is. Before Wakefield ever did these studies, it turns out that many years before and then right before, major universities basically did research and found exactly what he found. But the British Medical Journal is running with what a reporter has come out and said, that Wakefield just made it all up with no evidence. So we're going to be breaking that down. Obviously, we're going to spend the first hour talking about the situation in Egypt and all of the geopolitical ramifications of this. When you look at the Zbigniew Brzezinskian geopolitical grand chessboard model, there is a lot of evidence and outright admissions right now that the opposition is led and commanded by George Soros, NATO, and the Pentagon. In fact, there's no doubt that Mohammed el-Baradei is a globalist stooge. That is not even debated. In fact, that's all over London Telegraph, Associated Press. They're pushing it like it's credentials for the guy. But there's something more sophisticated going on at work here, and I'm going to break that down first when we come back from break. Also, it's been an illustration of how easy the internet can be shut down after what we've witnessed, not just in China in the last few years, but now in a single day, almost total internet shutdown by the Egyptian government. We've got confirmations out of Al Jazeera and many other publications that are respected that the police and military are involved in the looting under orders. We'll break down why governments tend to do that. There's a lot of amazing information here to cover. Obviously, the 150-point drop in the U.S. stock market, even bigger drops in the Saudi Arabian stock market. The rebellions are spreading to Yemen, Jordan, Tunisia, as you know, already fell a week and a half ago. And that was due to some WikiLeaks releases, which we know is government-connected. I'm going to try to go over all the angles of this when we come back, and the economic ramifications of it, and how the globalists are going to try to trigger a false revolution in this country when their bellwethers, when their weather vanes gauge that we're about to have a real revolution. This is very important. We're going to break it down.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Thank you for joining us, my friends. Very important worldwide broadcast as we attempt to awaken humanity to the globalist social engineers that are openly setting up an unelected private corporate planetary government that is openly waging war on the family, private property, and basic liberties in their move to consolidate a collectivist planet where only the ultra-rich are allowed to own property and where the general public are literally brain-numbed, drugged-out, servile zombies. And that's only part of the next phase towards forced world population reduction. Now, obviously, we're going to be breaking down the situation in Egypt here in the first hour. And then gastroenterologist Dr. Andrew Wakefield will be joining us in studio. He pointed out a year ago when a media reporter first claimed that his research connecting vaccines to autism, claiming that was fraudulent research with no evidence. I read those reports, and now Wakefield has demanded a retraction because it turns out that Wakefield was not the first person to do this research and find this. I already knew that from researching it myself, that decades before, years before, and even months before, major prestigious medical institutions, including in England, in government studies, found what Wakefield found. They've just chosen Wakefield to try to politically lynch him and politically decimate him, destroy him, so that then other scientists and people are scared away from the research. Kind of like they've now released, and it's been hacked, the UN over the last 20 years trying to persecute research scientists, climatologists, and others who have been researching and proving the fact that man-made global warming is a fraud. And you get the internal UN documents, and it turns out that they talk about how to intimidate people, how to get their funding cut, how to lie about them, and how to cover up the UN's own knowledge that we're actually cooling for the last 15 years. That's all now public for over a year. And it's exactly what they're doing to Wakefield. And it turns out this reporter's connected and works for Rupert Murdoch. Rupert Murdoch's on the board of one of the big vaccine makers. And this was basically done in a desperate attempt to stop the incredible tsunami of awakening to just how dangerous vaccines are. But it's too late. I mean, you could open the newspaper any day and read about Australian government stops giving flu vaccines because of deaths and increased brain disorders, narcolepsy, epilepsy. The list goes on and on and on. And so the truth is coming out. Same thing in England. Headline, government orders stop to H1N1 shots after tenfold increase in seizures in under five-year-olds. Well, I mean, we've always known what these vaccines do. Certain amount of kids have an autoimmune response. Their brain swells up. And a lot of times after they go into the convulsions, they don't ever come back. I mean, they sit in the corner and are hardcore brain damage. They call it autistic. There's a full spectrum. You know, every person is different, but we know that males absorb through the blood-brain barrier toxins worse than women. But we got Dr. Andrew Wakefield joining us. Dr. Wakefield demands retractions from BMJ after documents prove innocence from allegations of vaccine autism data fraud. Oh, it turns out there were a bunch of other scientists, including government scientists, that had already found exactly what he found. Of course, Wakefield was in here a few weeks ago when I said that on air. I said, Dr. Wakefield, you know that they've, since the 30s, knew about this. And he goes, well, yes, there is some research to that. And I said, no. Specifically, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, you didn't really discover this stuff. You just found what countless other scientists had found. It's just the media never really promotes it or pushes it. And again, they've chosen him because he's well-spoken and because he became very successful exposing it to try to destroy him. And as I said a few weeks ago here on air, I said, this is the secret. And now, of course, the research has been done, and there it is. Not, and again, I'm no rocket scientist. I'm no gastroenterologist. I've just interviewed quite a few over the years and countless brain surgeons and neurologists and endocrinologists and virologists. And I also know about the Rockefeller Brothers Foundation funding in the 30s and 40s dealing with vaccines that are given for one reason but really manipulate the gut flora and then cause brain damage. Bill and Melinda Gates are heavily invested in that now. The treatments to help you from the scourge of it, just like they're heavily invested in weather modification. So again, I'm just a collector of news and data. And so I'm fully aware of all this. He'll be joining us coming up in the next hour live in studio. And it's another big hoax, just like there was the hoax that global warming was real. Or the hoax that the H1N1 was deadly last year. Or all these other hoaxes about WMDs. It's another corporate media hoax, and that's why they're losing all of their credibility, because now we have the alternative media to challenge the dinosaur, dying, corporate, government-paid-for media. What came out 3 months ago? That over $10 billion in just the previous year had been funneled to U.S. media, namely NBC, NBC, and others, for fake news. Your bailout money, your tax money, goes to Rachel Maddow. Now, of course, under Bush, it came out, and the media's expert only focusing on a few cases. They focused on Armstrong Williams and $250,000 that he was given by Bush to go out and push the federalization of child education. But it turns out billions was spent. Why did the media focus on Armstrong Williams? Because if they can burn a little guy, then nobody looks at the big guys. And the buying of news on radio, TV, print media is just off the charts. I can honestly tell you that I am the only media outlet I know of that does not take this money. I am the only media outlet that I know of. There may be others, but my radio show is the only place that when something is a sponsor, I tell you it is a sponsor. I'd say half the news you listen to, radio, TV, print, half of it was completely paid for as a propaganda placement. I coined that term 12 years ago. And the last two, MSNBC and others, and ABC, as they knew that this was starting to come out, they said, oh, we are paid by the government and private corporations for messages in the sitcoms, in the dramas, in the news. We call it behavior placement, but it's for your own good. It's for your own good, America. Now, you say, well, great, the alternative media is growing by leaps and bounds. 2 years ago, we passed the Rubicon. Gallup and others put out major studies showing that, again, 2 years ago, we passed the line where the alternative media, 3-to-1, is more respected than mainstream media and has a larger audience in the aggregate. And it's an exponential growth curve. So the system is panicking. Now, what's seen as alternative media by the dinosaur propaganda media, Fox, CNN, MSNBC, people like that, Meet the Press, all those different programs, your old dinosaur newspapers that are dying because nobody wants to read their propaganda. What they're doing is they've got a, quote, internet kill switch that's been announced, where they can shut off the web whenever they want. Under the Cybersecurity Act, it makes ISPs with 100 or more customers, that's basically any internet service provider out there, to go under federal control. You're not paid to do this. It's indentured servitude. It's unconstitutional. But you've got to put government hardware in line, and this is now being implemented. They're trying to implement it right now, in your ISP, where everything runs over a government switch. Just like in 96, they put government takeover boxes in all broadcast TV and radio, the EAS system. The last thing that a broadcast system's wired through is a government shortwave control computer. But it's activated and given commands by shortwave. That means you can hack the wires off this thing. It still is getting government transmissions. And so I wanted to segue from that into what happened in Egypt and our own media. MSNBC, AOL News, Time Warner, calling for our own internet kill switch, saying it's good. And we'll look at Egypt, exactly what's behind that. We had hoped it was just a real revolution. As usual, it's George Soros, and he's not even denying it.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Thank you for joining us on this live Sunday edition. All right, I want to calmly now walk through the situation in Egypt, but on the subject of the internet shutdown that began Friday morning, Egypt time, and has been almost complete. Egypt shutdown, worst in internet history, experts report. This out of the AFP. Here's AOL saying internet kill switch. Should the United States emulate Egypt? You gotta love how they just push incredible tyranny like it's a good thing in our media. And the federal government is setting up a kill switch over the internet. New bill gives Obama kill switch to shut down the internet. That's another headline. Here's another headline out of the Sydney Morning Herald. Obama internet kill switch bill approved. As it moves forward. Here's another one. CNBC host Aaron Burnett implies America should support foreign dictators to keep flow of cheap oil. They always love to sell us that tyranny's good. Here's MSNBC. So how do you shut off a whole nation's internet? MIT experts say it depends on ISP ownership and doubt it could happen in the U.S. unless they pass the Cybersecurity Act, where all the ISPs have a piece of government equipment in their chain by law, and the internet has to be basically redesigned to follow that edict. That's what's in the Cybersecurity Act. That's the internet shut-off switch. That's these giant NSA snooping bases they're building with our taxpayer dollars everywhere. All right, so I'm done talking about that. Let me get into the big news here. As this started throughout the week, I had a lot of listeners calling in saying, oh, I bet it's George Soros. I bet it's our government overthrowing another country. Because the CIA admits they've overthrown well over 100 countries in the last 65 years since they've been around. And before that, the OSS. And a lot of times they do it to democracies, they do it to tyrannies, they do it to dictatorships, they do it to leftist regimes, right-wing regimes. If the dictator doesn't just basically sign their entire country over to the globalist, doesn't accept their entire agenda, then they're overthrown. And a lot of times, even though they serve them, they're overthrown. Saddam Hussein put into power in the early 1970s. The U.S. government basically funded the Iraqi government to make him the head of Ba'athist security. He then overthrew the Ba'athist in 79, became the full dictator. U.S. government gave him over $30 billion on record and said, go ahead and attack Iran. The CIA was there as advisors on the ground. U.S. satellite images were given to him. And then he said, I'm going to invade Kuwait. They're stealing my oil in 1990. And April Gillespie, the U.S. ambassador, said, go ahead. We're not going to get involved. Just like they basically wink-winked for him with Iran. Then they basically invaded, wrecked the country, put it under sanctions. Over a million Iraqis died. Then they invaded again in 2003, lied about WMDs. I mean, this is the history of what happened. And it's declassified that Saddam Hussein in 1948 was hired by the CIA for 2 years trained in Cairo, Egypt, on how to commit assassinations, and then later, of course, brought to power by our government. But this is not our government. This is the private intelligence agency of the big private central banks represented by the Davos Switzerland Group, the Bilderberg Group. These are the major meeting houses and confabs where they openly want world government run by private corporate interest that remove your Bill of Rights, your Constitution, your sovereignty. And then bring in a paramilitary police state grid so they can carry out their policies against you. Now, Hosni Mubarak in power for 30 years, a dictator for 29, but really in power technically for 31. He gets $13 billion plus every year of U.S. taxpayer money. A lot of the U.S. torture centers are there, the ghost sites, the black sites. He's been the angel of Israel, the angel of the United States. He's done everything they want, brutally murdering people, torturing, pure death, just absolutely barbarous to the huge population of Egypt. Then you've got the Arab Brotherhood, going back to British intelligence, and then after they lost control of the Middle East in World War II under Hitler, and then under CIA control after that, This is not even my opinion. I mean, we reserve judgment until Friday night on this, but we did have guests on who said this could be the case, where they're flushing another one of their minions down the toilet. Hosni Mubarak, to put out and to put into power Mohammed el-Baradei, who they admit is a United Nations George Soros minion, who's the former head of the IAEA at the UN, the Nuclear Weapons Regulatory Group. And I've got the whole breakdown on him, Director General, the International Atomic Energy Agency, New York Law School, CIA trained. I mean, his whole background is public. And he shows back up the week before all this starts in Egypt and starts going around saying, I'm ready to be your leader. And it turns out the Egyptian military is bought and paid for by the U.S. and Israel. This is on record. And is basically standing down unless they try to burn some of the museums, are standing down while the people run around and loot. And here's the London Telegraph. Egypt protest. America's secret backing for rebel leaders behind uprising. It continues. Egyptian opposition leader calls on Mubarak to leave today. And who is that? This is the new puppet, the UN puppet. Because there's one thing Mubarak hadn't done. He refuses to force sterilize people. And they've had UN population summits. He's been criticized. He refuses to sterilize and bring an abortion. Now, you better believe that el-Baradei will. So Mubarak loves to torture, kill, slaughter, total dictator. Our government's got its torture sites there, loves him, but he isn't good enough. He isn't good enough. He doesn't hate his people enough. And so Mohammed el-Baradei, the Pied Piper of Egyptian revolt, Paul Joseph Watson, that's from Friday, his report up there. And, of course, on Friday he also reported on the George Soros connection. But now Axelrod's bragging that el-Baradei is their man. We've got another report by the LRC blog, Egypt's Rose Revolution, similar to what happened in Georgia. There's another report here. Egypt is another Soros color revolution. Soros, of course, funded rebellions and takeovers all over Eastern Europe and into Central Asia on the belly of Russia. And it's just hard to believe until you look at the evidence and that it's just admitted that our government is so illegitimate. But you can learn a lot from what's happened with this situation. And you can see what's going to happen here in the U.S. Remember, a few years ago, I told you that Google is an NSA front. That's now been mainstream news in the Associated Press in the last few weeks, that it basically is the NSA. It's not part of it. It is the NSA. It is NSA software, keyword software. That's how they listen to your phones and read your faxes and your email, is a keyword search. They grab all the data of the quote internet, but your private faxes, emails, phone calls are recorded, put in a database, and then they run a Google search on it. It's called Echelon. Been around for 30 years at least. That's what Google is. But it's worse. In fact, I'll print this during the break and go back over it. Google admits they can now predict the future to a great extent. So they know when there's about to be a real rebellion in Egypt, they just activate their takeover, see? That way they can ride the wave. That's what's hard to beat about the New World Order. They've got artificial intelligence. All right, we're back live, my friends. I want to lay out the geopolitical strategy of the globalists and their social engineers very simply, because I usually spend my time getting into fine nuances of it, but to give you a general summation, the private global banking cartel has conservatively created $1.5 quadrillion in derivatives. It is a debt black hole hundreds of times bigger than all the real wealth in the world. Even the Washington Post admits this. They buy off your governments with the made-up fiat currency. They need police state systems in place to make sure that the population never gets control of their nation again. Their political creation is the UN that poses as a humanitarian organization, but in its own annals admits it is a eugenics population reduction program designed to keep the third world from developing. Because if the third world ever developed and developed sophisticated weapon systems, technological systems, they would be sophisticated enough not to be overtaken by the globalist and kept in debt, servitude, and bondage. Now, separately, and you see this in the news all the time, the post-industrial world, getting rid of our industrial base, getting back to nature. The stated goal of the UN, Club of Rome, Council on Foreign Relations, is to deindustrialize the West and to destroy the middle class. The ultra-rich call this the final revolution. They don't want you doing financially well. They don't want you being self-sufficient. This is the stated enemy. They want you controlled, working for a Fortune 100 corporation at near the poverty line, so that you're so busy just trying to survive, you can never challenge the monopoly of power of the world's ruling class. There is a continuity of agenda from Australia to the United States, from Chile to Canada, from Japan to South Africa. The same programs, the same international organizations, the same standardization. And when you get into the white papers of these people, they openly say we're going to have a Singaporean model globally. And they go on to admit the communist Chinese model is a Singaporean model. And if you want to know what life is going to be like, and I've made a big deal out of this because I happened to pick up a year-old copy a month or two ago of January 2010, National Geographic, and it said right there, Singapore is great, tyranny's great, this is what our government wants to do. Their population is at a 1.2 replacement rate. That means they're dying. For every two adults, they have 1.2 children. They have no free speech. They're totally enslaved, and the article says this is the model to go with. So they're just out in the open pushing this. Now, what does that have to do with Egypt? The globalists put Hosni Mubarak in. For 30 years, he's ruled with an iron fist. The majority of the U.S.-run black site torture centers, where they even take U.S. citizens to have their teeth ripped out, to be put on the rack, to have their heart stopped with drugs, to have their kids raped in front of them. That's in the Army's own reports, the General Toogoombo report. I mean, you're talking about hell on earth, building the army of darkness. Our government, which isn't our government, it's a hijacker. It's the corporate globalist social Darwin hijacker. The eugenicist hijackers have turned Egypt into a fortress of pure evil. Now, continuing, they are able, with their actuaries, with their computer systems. In fact, Jaron, did I print that article about Google being able to predict the future now? Oh, it's right in front of me. It'd bite me if it was a snake. When I talked earlier before the break about globalist modeling and globalist operations, what they're doing is a 21st century mode of what the British Great Game was. If you don't know what the British Great Game is, you can just look it up in an encyclopedia. Basically, the British would play different powers off against each other. They would divide and conquer. How this little bitty island with a small population dominate more than half the known world, to where the sun never set on the British Empire. And they're taking that system and using NSA predictive systems where when they track enough cell phone users, enough internet users, enough of your daily habits, they know how to predict what you're going to do individually every day by tracking your iPhone or your Droid, and they have those in Egypt, at about 99% accuracy. The government knows who you're going to call next with 93% accuracy. This is their admissions. because they see patterns in what you do that you don't consciously see. You know, a lot of people, when they join a government agency or something, are given these thousands of questions, psychological exams, trying to find out really truly who you are or if you're deceptive. Well, imagine what they know off what you watch on TiVo, tracking what you watch, when you flip the channel, what you surf on the internet, where you go, what you do, where you pull in and eat, what you Google, what you Yahoo. And so it's now admitted Google is NSA snooping software given to the public, and we think we're going into Google to find information out. But it's like, to use an analogy from Lord of the Rings, when you're looking into a crystal, it can look both ways. Sauron can look right back out at you. You understand? In fact, he is looking right back out at you and wants to know what you want to look at, wants to look into your mind. But this isn't a crystal ball in a fictitious sword and sorcerer fantasy. This is real. And over a decade ago, I warned you about this because I was reading MIT magazine that's public. I was studying this as they were laughing about it, laughing at us, the profane slaves, laughing at how we won't even be needed in the future as soon as they get the robotic system in place. See, human life has always been cheap. Now it's worthless. Now it's worse than worthless. It's garbage. It has to be gotten rid of. It has to be carried out. Now, here's the headline, Steve Watson, but then it links through to Reuters, Associated Press. Google and CIA plow millions into huge recorded future monitoring project. And it goes on to say that the CIA and Google are investing jointly in a company started with Pentagon money that predicts the future with near certainty. This is just them coming out and telling you what they're already doing. Now, that said, what does this have to do with Egypt? Hosni Mubarak, 30 years torturing, murdering, slaughtering, our government saying how great he is. Why do you think the government came out on Thursday and Friday and said they were backing Hosni Mubarak? They later bragged because they like people to know what they're doing who are thinkers. So everything's hidden in plain view. They'll have a general propaganda, but then they'll have the admission in plain view. They admitted in the Wall Street Journal and Reuters, those articles are up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, that, oh, the State Department is financing this whole thing. It's all admitted. And they are going to put in Mohammed El Baradei, who is UN, who is CIA. And we found that if we backed Mubarak publicly, that that would make his people become even more enraged and attacking. See that cold-blooded manipulation? So they're flushing their little darling murderer down the toilet right now. Their new UN puppet, who will shoot him up with the vaccines and call for abortion, Dr. Mohammed El Baradei, he's demanding that Hosni Mubarak resign. I'm going to come back and go through the rest of this and how it ties in.
We've got it. This transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are go.
It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Dr. Andrew Wakefield, a gastroenterologist, will be joining us in studio coming up the full next hour. Dr. Wakefield demands retraction from British Medical Journal after documents prove innocence from allegations of vaccine autism data fraud. This is a classic hoax they run, where they're always claiming that scientists who disprove global warming are frauds, and then it turns out the UN internally knew they weren't frauds and lied and said they were when they are the frauds. This is how they do it. They're very, very desperate. That is coming up. But boiling all this down, why this is so important, why I was getting into Google and how it's NSA and can predict the future to a great extent. when billions of us are pouring what movies we like, what words we're looking up, what sex we're into, what type of food we're into, what type of vacations we're into, where we're going, what church we go to, what choices we make when we're watching digital cable, all of that is tracked and is two-way, that's admitted. They get a clear image of who we are and have computers that analyze what our real worldview is, what our real psyche, our soul. It's a computer literally reading our soul, who we are. This isn't some con artist fortune teller looking at your palm. This is computers that have had data systems loaded into them by sociologists, psychologists, anthropologists in psychological warfare testing their propaganda. They admit they test propaganda on the news and then see what effect it has in cyberspace. But now they're moving towards phasing out the free web and bringing in this draconian web. And so why would they overthrow Hosni Mubarak, who's done everything this global corporate crime syndicate has told him to do? Why would they go in there and finance and then brag about it? I mean, it's in the Wall Street Journal, the London Telegraph, BBC, AP, Reuters, Newsweek, that this guy that they're trying to get into power, this El Baradei, the former head of the UN Atomic Energy Agency, this top globalist, is the guy who they put back into Egypt. I mean, he doesn't walk like an Egyptian. He doesn't live there. He didn't go to school there. He is purely an outsider. So he talks the talk of revolution. He doesn't walk the walk. And so the globalists are able to gauge that Egypt was going into revolution. And now the media even admits this. The State Department and the CIA analyzed what was happening in Egypt in the last 3 years and knew that there would soon be a rebellion. And so they began to position Mohammed El Baradei to take over. I mean, they're just saying it. So see, the rebellion is real against Hosni Mubarak. He is a tyrant. He is wrong. He is out of control. They do deserve freedom, but they're not going to get it from Dr. Mohammed El Baradei, who is a globalist through and through, and it turns out funded by the UN, going to Davos, hanging out with George Soros, getting support from these people. So when they know there's going to be a rebellion, when they know Egypt's demanding liberty, when their people are so incredibly enslaved and kept impoverished as a political tool, that's part of the policy there. Right at the wave, there is a tide in the affairs of men when taken at the flood leads on to fortune. So Shakespeare's Julius Caesar states, they know that flood, that tide has come in to launch their new ship. So they put in this guy. And now the Muslim Brotherhood, you talk about Muslim extremists. You talk about British and Israeli intelligence. That's not even denied. Now they admit, this is Associated Press, Jordan's opposition, Arabs will topple tyrants. Hamam Saeed and others. We've got all these articles up on InfoWars and Prison Planet where it's admitted that the Muslim Brotherhood, these are the guys that worked with Hitler in World War II and before that with British intelligence, that they are trying to topple Jordan, who literally licks the boots of Israel, Egypt, who sucks the boots of Israel and the U.S., and Saudi Arabia, that literally licks the bottom of the boots. And now that's why the king of Saudi Arabia is freaking out, because the Arab Brotherhood's about to try to overthrow them. And here's what's hardcore. If you think they're going to put on rock and roll music and tell the women to go to college and all the rest of it and put Playboy on the shelves, that was all there under Saddam Hussein. That was an older Eisenhower policy of putting, you know, what was seen as a liberal Western government in. That changed by the 60s, by the mid-60s. They said, we're going to put radical Muslims in. Even as the Washington Post reported a decade ago, 500 plus million total. In 1 year alone, over $60 million. But it's a global program to radicalize Muslims, sending them textbooks about how to kill Americans and funding radical Muslim leaders. Who did they use to throw over Mohammed Mossadegh in 1953? CIA declassified Operation Ajax. They blew up mosque, machine gun crowds, put out flyers saying Mohammed Mossadegh had done it, who was a secular poet, but didn't want to give all the oil money to the British and U.S. oil companies. That's declassified. Our government staged terror attacks, blamed it on him, and then used radical Muslims to overthrow him, then put the Shah in, the little princeling, over him. Then they got tired of him. We're looking at using Muslim extremists again, but that got out of their control, the evidence shows, hence the Islamic Revolution. And that's what's dangerous about this witch's brew. You look at Saddam Hussein, 2003, caught a few years later. The women are back wearing the headdresses. There's no Playboy on the shelves. I'm not saying that's a good thing overall. The point is, there's not 60% college graduates anymore. They want Muslim extremists. They want dirt floors. They want starvation. That is the British Ministry of Defense 1949 Global Population Report. That is the State Department Memorandum 200 written by Henry Kissinger. It was declassified in 92. Go read it. It's several hundred pages. How they would fund turmoil and death and destruction, and that if a dictator wouldn't sterilize his people and wouldn't fully follow the globalist plan, get rid of them. And that's what they're trying to do with Hosni Mubarak. They are going to put in another globalist after him, knowing after 30 years they're going to change the name on the building of Tyranny Incorporated, but they're going to put a new puppet in. And that's what you got to know about America. 9% approval rating for Congress in Gallup. Both parties in deep trouble. The people know offshore banks have looted tens of trillions, won't tell Congress where the money went. The Republicans are trying to co-opt the Tea Party. They're trying to make it a left-right issue where, well, if you complain about the government, you must be a conservative. That way Democrats automatically support the tyranny when they own both parties. But as we go into this tumult, as we go into this police state, they are going to put forward fake opposition. And if the globalists look at the rebellion actuaries, if they look at the different data they've got, and it tells them with almost 100% certainty what's going to happen, they will instantly stage the riots themselves. They will pay police, as they got caught in Greece, as they've been caught in Canada and the U.S. And by the way, that's on Al Jazeera. That's on MSNBC. That's in a bunch of the other newspapers. Eyewitnesses say state sponsoring vandalism. Is the Egyptian government using agent provocateurs to justify and crack down on the protesters? We know they had the police stand down, the military standing down. We know that they're having hired police and other thugs, this is confirmed, go in and burn down shops and go into people's homes and burn them so that the public will then beg for the rebellion to end. They're getting that lined up. It's all about timing, so that right as one of the globalist new puppets, whether it's El Baradei or others, because sometimes it takes two or three puppets within a week or two to go through before people finally settle down, they've got other puppets like shark teeth lined up to slide into place. This is an art form. This is very sophisticated chess going on. And so the New World Order knew that Egypt was on the verge of rebellion. They know that. They know Saudi Arabia is. They know that other nations like Yemen, Tunisia, already overthrown. They know that's happening. And so they've got their fake opposition lined up and ready. Then they, with the WikiLeaks and the Twitter, which is now admitted, trigger this against their own ally, because there is no honor among thieves, Hosni Mubarak, and are now bringing in this false revolution to not end the tyranny and give the Egyptians liberty they thirst for, but to give them a new flavor of tyranny. Oh, you don't like the grape-flavored cyanide Kool-Aid? How about cherry-flavored? How about lime-flavored? You don't like that? How about coconut-flavored? You don't like that? How about apple-flavored? That's all this is manufactured society through the NSA, data mining, future predictive programming, lensing.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, I've been ranting for much of the last hour, but it's just so incredible that it is all over even mainstream news that they are shooting police, looting people's homes and businesses, setting fires. And either way you slice it, in New Orleans we saw police robbing the jewelry shops in Walmart and not protecting people. I mean, this happens with armies and police in every case. You cannot trust in the government and the system to protect you. You've got to protect yourself, and that's what's so beautiful about the Second Amendment. There's an Infowars.com story breaking all this down. CFR's Foreign Affairs on Egypt's Hero. And it goes over the strange case of Dr. Mohammed Al-Baradei, who, again, is admittedly the former head of the UN's Atomic Energy Agency, admitted hooked in with George Soros and the CIA. Here's the London Telegraph. Egypt protest, America's secret backing for rebel leaders behind uprising, because they knew that the tree was putting on the fruit. The apples of rebellion became ripe, and right as the apple fell, there is the State Department, there is the Pentagon, with their hand out, catching the apple before it even hits the ground. And then I looked into the other opposition leaders, both in Egypt, in Tunisia, in Yemen, in Saudi Arabia, in Jordan. And you look at it, in all the cases, one, two, three, four, sometimes five deep, the number one, the number two, the number three, the number four, the number five, opposition, the flavors of the rainbow, are all Western-funded and ready to go in, which makes perfect sense for these Western powers because, you know, they want to make sure if there is a rebellion that no matter what happens, they own the horses who are in the race. But sometimes things don't go the way they want. But the larger issue here is, what does this say about the interests that run our country? In every case, they want dictatorship. In every case, they want tyranny because the ruling class, the ruling political class that owns all the major political parties in the Western world, they understand how to control revolution. They understand how by controlling the full spectrum of choices, no matter what you do, they're always back in control. Only by becoming aware of these larger geopolitical stratagems can we have any hope as a society as reversing this. And on top of that, and even more importantly, if you look at who funds and finances and controls every one of these large global institutions that has huge stables of fake rebel leaders ready to take power at any time, you understand that they also use those rebel leaders as a system to menace their puppet government and ensure that they are tenuous or unstable and understand how insecure they are. But for us, if you look at who funds all those organizations, it is the global private banking cartel that is able to issue thousands upon thousands of trillions in fake, false fiat currency. And by issuing that fiat currency, which then has value because of our faith in it, these private central banks inherit the whole world for nothing. It's a giant hat trick. It's a giant scam. And as Thomas Jefferson said, if we ever allow private banks to control the issuance of currency and credit, our progeny will wake up homeless on the continent their forefathers conquered. And that's what's happening. The private central banks, the Bank of London, Bank of England, the private Federal Reserve here in the United States, the Bundesbank in Germany, they are all private shareholders in the IMF, in the World Bank, in the International Bank of Settlements, in the OECD, and they write the global rules. They have the endless money backed up by taxpayers to go out and make loans to countries worldwide, and the same havoc that they have poured out upon the third world, they are now visiting upon us. And it's not just my opinion. In 2002, Greg Palast of the BBC got leaked the secret documents when Joseph Stiglitz left, confirming they were planning it here. We'll be back.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, my friends, for the rest of the hour, we're going to shift gears out of the engineered rebellion now sweeping the Arab world from North Africa into Saudi Arabia. And now, I can't believe it. They're admitting that our own government is financing the entire thing, not to bring in liberty, but to bring in fresh tyranny, knowing that people tend to not rebel against a new tyrant as much as they rebel against an old strong man. So they're giving them new bosses for old bosses, kind of like the WHO says, meet the new boss, same as the old boss, won't get fooled again. Now, joining us for the next 53 minutes until this live Sunday broadcast ends is Dr. Andrew Wakefield. He was just in a few weeks ago, but I asked him to come back in, because he lives here in Austin, into studio again because of such huge developments. And, of course, without going over his lengthy and prestigious bio, he's a gastroenterologist. And he has a MB, BS, FRCS, FRC Path, is an academic gastroenterologist. He received his medical degree from St. Mary's Hospital Medical School, part of the University of London in 81. One of the fourth generation of his family to have studied medicine at the teaching hospital. He pursued a career in the gastroenterology surgery with a particular interest in inflammatory bowel disease. He qualified as a fellow with the Royal College of Surgeons in 85, and in 96 was awarded a Wellcome Trust traveling fellowship. And his bio just goes on and on and on from there. Callous-disregard.com is one of the sites. VaccineSafetyFirst.com is another. He has a new best-selling book out that you've probably seen featured on Good Morning America, Anderson Cooper. I mean, the list goes on and on. But a year ago, they ran a hoax against Dr. Wakefield, similar to WMDs in Iraq, and they said he had lied about studies he did linking the one particular vaccine to autism. And then I remember reading it a year ago, and there was no proof. It was just basically no facts. And then they kind of resuscitated it in the last few months because national polls show that people completely don't trust the vaccine makers now because of all the latest fiascos. And again, they came out and said he's been discredited. But now ABC News and others have had to run the headlines that Dr. Wakefield is actually the one who deserves an apology. Dr. Wakefield demands retraction from the British Medical Journal after documents prove innocence from allegations of vaccine autism data fraud. And Dr. Wakefield, it's great to have you back in studio with us. Tell us what's really going on here.
Alex, it's great to be back. Thank you very much.
Great to have you.
As you say, a huge amount has happened since we spoke last. And just to characterize it for your listeners and your viewers, there's a story that goes around in legal circles in the UK, and it's just an instructive story about what has actually happened. And just a little anecdote, but it's about a lawyer in court who is cross-examining a witness in an assault case. And he says to the witness, "I put it to you, sir, you did not see my client assault Mr. Smith." He said, "No, I didn't." He said, "I put it to you, sir, that you did not see him bite Mr. Smith's ear off." He said, "No, I didn't." He said, "I put it to you, you saw nothing at all." And he said, "Yes, I saw him spit it out again." Now, the point of that, Alex, is that you can go too far. You can ask one too many questions. You can get greedy. And that's exactly what's happened in this case. So in an effort to discredit me, they've gone one step too far, and they've lied. Not only has Brian Deer lied, completely misrepresented the truth, but he has sold that story. He has hijacked the British Medical Journal, a once reputable journal, to buying into his story without checking their facts and publishing it in not only the national media in the UK, but the national media all over the world, but particularly here in the United States.
And for those that don't know, in my long intro, for some that don't know about this huge international story, boiling it down, you know, from the start to the finish, what happened? What have they claimed? What's behind it?
Well, on the one hand, we've got children who've been damaged. They were normal. They regress into autism after vaccines. They develop bowel disease. What we looked at was their gut, and we found that they had a new intestinal disease. On the other side of the equation, the allegation against me is that I falsified the records, I changed children's records, and I changed test results to manufacture a new disease and then publish on that disease in The Lancet, a disease that Brian Deer, whatever expertise he has, I have no idea, says does not exist. And the documents that we now have proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that 14 months before the paper was published, the world's leading pediatric gastroenterologist, John Walker Smith, went to the pathologist and identified, independently of me, nothing to do with me at all.
You didn't even know about this.
No, the pathology they found in the children, quite independent of me, and he reported this at a meeting in London. So these children had a bowel disease, and I was no part of making that diagnosis.
And you separately went and did research and diagnosed the same thing. Now expanding on that, because this is such a big issue, you did this over a decade ago, and they started panicking a year ago when now dozens and dozens, and I know it's close to 30 governments, institutions have duplicated and found even more horrors than you found. And so they're panicking. The vaccine maker's stock is going down. It's coming out in mainstream news that there's a tenfold increase in seizures from the H1N1 shot. The British Medical Journal comes out and says there was a gross fraud last year with the H1N1. So they're panicking. So they pick someone to lynch to try to basically run a big hoax to scare everybody off.
You're absolutely right, Alex. What this is a red herring. They're focusing on me. I got blamed in an interview the other day for children dying of pertussis in California. I've never said anything about pertussis vaccine, but if we can fix it on this guy, if we can label this guy as the fraud, as the person who's responsible for all of this, we can distract the public attention from the fact that we have got a real catastrophe on our hands, and that is the fact that there are nearly 30 million children in this country with chronic immune and inflammatory disorders, disorders which you and I know when we were kids we rarely saw. So these.
And by the way, you're a gut doctor. I've interviewed brain surgeons, neurologists. They say it's in the brain, it's in other organs. You're just studying the gut. It's hitting everything. I mean, it's wreaking havoc, and there's studies just spewing out, and the system can't stand it. They've got to choose somebody who's very prominent and, has, Jenny McCarthy, forwarding his book. They've got to pick somebody to try to crucify to scare everybody off.
And the truth is they're failing. This extravagant, elaborate, very, very expensive public relations campaign has failed, and the polls that you referred to show exactly that. The public know what's going on. It's not that I've made it up. It's not that I've created a scare. I, as a physician, responded appropriately, professionally, and morally to a scare. The parents were concerned because they knew what was happening to their children. It's going on all over the world. Saudi Arabia, 20 years ago, there were no children with autism. Now there are over 45,000 children with autism. Where have they come from? Where have these children come from?
And then the media spins it and says it's overdiagnosis. You don't go from 1 in 2,000 a decade ago to, 1 in 55 in boys, 1 in 96 in with both sexes? What are the numbers, doctor?
The numbers now in the UK are about 1 in 58 children. The numbers in the US, I'm sure, are approaching that, but they're a little later in catching up. And they use...
Well, I know this. When I was a kid, I didn't see autistic children everywhere. You go to the mall, the grocery store, you're mobbed by them. I mean, it's got to be a third of the kids I look like they're, I'm sorry to say it, like a body snatcher ate their brain.
And the problem is, Alex, that these kids are the worst of the children we see. Who are the children who've got lesser degrees of cerebral damage, who've got brain damage? Who are the children whose IQs have just dropped a few points?
That's lower, and all of the learning disorders and problems.
Exactly. How many children are affected by this? Because what's emerging now is that these conditions have at their core some immune or inflammatory component. And this includes asthma, eczema, hay fever, insulin-dependent diabetes, Crohn's disease, allergic.
What about the major university studies a year and a half ago on H1N1 finding it lowered immunity by half when you took the H1N1 shot? I mean, there's so many studies coming out.
I think these are big problems. What we're discovering again from Africa, Peter Arby's work, which was just broadcast on the Discovery Channel, there are some major problems that were unpredictable and should have been anticipated, but they are damaging the immune system in some children. In some children, the immune system, for whatever reason, genetics, age, combination of other factors, cannot deal with these vaccines, particularly in combination, in the way that it was hoped.
And it's mainly targeting boys. Stay there. I want to come back and go through all of this with you. And the hoax that's now been exposed conclusively, we'll cover that first. Okay, we've got Dr. Andrew Wakefield here in studio with us, and I want to get into the fact that even ABC News is having to say, okay, well, it does look like that Dr. Wakefield has been right about this, but I wanted to make another statement. If we have this massive amount of brain damage going on, And it turns out that the system knew that this was going on, as the 2000 documents that came out in 2002 when Congressman Dan Burton demanded they be released. And it turned out that the CDC, you know, director and others, it was the minutes of their meeting saying, we've got millions of brain damaged. You know, we've got to cover this up. So this is nothing new. This is a huge cover-up, and they've got to cover this up. They've got to continue to cover it up, because if it ever comes out that they knowingly knew this was happening and didn't care, boy, you talk about problems. Katie, bar the door.
Yeah, let me. What I want to do, Alex, if I may, is just characterize for your listeners and viewers how Brian Deer perpetrated a fraud against the American people.
And for those that don't know, tell us who he is.
Brian Deer is a freelance journalist. Now, you might think from reading what he writes that he's a pathologist, that he's a gastroenterologist, a psychiatrist, and all of these things roll into one. In fact, he's a freelance journalist who has claimed that he works for the Sunday Times. He is not on the staff of the Sunday Times. He's got into the house of one of the parents in the Lancet paper that we published using a false name. Alex, you're a journalist. Have you ever felt the need to lie to one of your guests about your name or to get someone on your show?
No, I've never lied to anybody to get them on the show. One time I was infiltrating a political secret event, and I didn't even use my wrong name. I just acted like I'd belong there.
Right, and here he is. Here's a journalist using a completely different name, which he admits was for the purpose of deceiving this mother, a mother who was grieving for an extremely badly damaged child, to get into her house and get information on her. Now, that's tragic, and that's not the way journalists behave. So this man is no ordinary journalist by any manner of means. But let me give you an example of how he created the perception of fraud and how it was, in fact, him who caused the fraud. He accused me of changing the histories of the children from the general practitioner records into the Lancet. Now, what happened is each child was referred by their family doctor with a letter saying to Professor Walker Smith, please would you see this child with the following problems. That letter came to Professor Walker Smith. He did not have access, nor did any of us, to the GP's original records. They remained in the GP's office. The other thing we had was access to the prospective developmental records of the children. So we took those records and the Royal Free records, and we put into the Lancet paper what we had found, faithfully, exactly, in each child. Brian Deer says that there was a difference between what was in the GP records and the Lancet, therefore that was fraud. Let me give you an example. He said that we claimed that the child's problems started after MMR vaccine, but in fact, what he found in the GP records is that the child had hearing problems about 2 weeks before the vaccine was given. And hearing problems are often an indication of evolving autism. That was his opinion. So what we put is the mother said this child was delirious. A week after the vaccine, 3 days of delirium. That was the first behavioral symptom that the mother reported to us. That was the information we had. However, when we had access to the original records during the General Medical Council hearing about us and our behavior, we went back and we checked those records. What we found was where their mother had claimed that the child had hearing problems before the MMR, it said underneath, mother worried about discharge from left ear.
Had an earache.
Had an earache with an ear infection, more than enough reason for her to be worried about the child's hearing. But Brian Deer selectively removed the bit about the discharge and just put hearing problems. That is fraud.
But when I read what he said about you, it was so flimsy and also not even correct. But now expanding on this, because the issue is we have all these autistic children. The epidemic is becoming a pandemic. It's getting more and more wild, more and more insane. More and more mainline studies are coming out, backing up and quite frankly dwarfing your findings. And now the big announcement here is Dr. Wakefield demands retraction from British Medical Journal after documents prove innocence from allegations of vaccine autism data fraud. The big development here is separate scientists, prestigious ones, they found what you found before you even found it, and you didn't even know this.
Yeah,
well, So they're claiming you just pulled this out of a hat, and now it turns out prestigious scientists in your own country and doctors were finding the same thing.
The same team, working on the same team as I was on, but independently of me, in order to confirm before he went and presented to this meeting exactly what was going on in the intestine of these children, he independently went and had the tissues reviewed by the senior pathologist at the hospital with an expertise.
Yeah, that's who confirmed it. Yeah.
That's right. Now, he did it to the highest standard of scientific rigor. He did it in a blinded fashion. So He, the pathologist looking down the microscope, did not know the diagnosis in the child or their symptoms. All he had was a slide or a set of slides to look at, and he made the diagnosis based on that. And when it came out, it was colitis, 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 colitis. Inflammation of the bowel exactly as it was faithfully reported in the Lancet paper.
And it turns out you didn't even know about this, but they're running around saying you just made it up, but here it is separately confirmed.
It is so bizarre. They have gone so far out on a limb. They have made such a fool of themselves. And the BMJ, the British Medical Journal, simply, I believe, did not check their facts. They went out and made these wild allegations. And the consequences for me, Alex, I can live with that. I'll deal with it, okay? But for children who have got bowel problems, who will now not get investigated appropriately because the doctors will say, well, that was all a hoax, that was all a fraud, we won't bother. Thousands of children around the world will suffer directly as a consequence of
the... Yeah, but I was reading, and I've got the articles right here, Bill and Melinda Gates, the Rockefeller Foundation, they're pouring funding into vaccines being related to bowel disorders right now. I mean, that's all over the news, and there's all these other big studies coming out confirming what you've said.
Well, I'm interested to hear that because so far, the Bill Gates has been pouring money into making sure that every child in the world gets vaccinated and vaccinated.
Well, no, but then also what I'm saying is, and then the treatment of all these burgeoning bowel problems that we're seeing. But separately, there's a lot of other scientific institutions and doctors that have found similar findings to yours.
Yes, indeed. And there are people from as far afield as Poland, from Italy, from Venezuela, from Canada, from the United States of America and independently from the UK have found the same bowel disease that we have reported. And so it's real. It's a fact. It's a real. And the great thing is that you can treat these children. You've taken a disease that was historically a dead end. You're broken. Your kid's broken. Put them in a home. Forget about it. Move on. No, they're not. They're suffering and they can be helped. And what's forgotten about in all of this, in this deliberate smoke and mirrors exercise of the public relations, is that the children behind this are suffering from a severe condition that can be ameliorated, can be treated, they can be helped. And that's where our attention should be focused. So
now, for those that don't know, though, just getting into the science of it, I want to come back and get into some of that and also talk about where we go from here and where this epidemic is going. But the stomach, the intestines, you know, the whole tract has more flora and fauna, more, you know, autoimmune connections, to put it in layman's terms, than any other part of the body. And so when you start getting injected with all this foreign matter, it can cause problems in your intestines. And as we all know, as you said a few weeks ago, when you get, you know, drink a bunch of beer, you feel it in your brain. The intestines and the stomach, they are massively connected to the rest of the body, especially the brain.
Yeah, the way we're trained in medicine is that I'm a gastroenterologist, stick to the gut, I'm a psychiatrist, stick to the brain. No, that's not the way it works. We're one, you know, we're part of the same thing. And the gut is, in fact, the biggest immune organ in the body. 70% of the body's immune system is in the gut. It's got more neurons in the gut than you have in the brain. It's an extraordinary thought, but that's the truth. And, of course, it's where we encounter the majority of bacteria, viruses, foodstuffs, foreign antigens, foreign proteins. And, therefore, the gut is...
Stay there. Let's break it down when we come back. Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. I'm here live weekdays. Back Sundays, 4 to 6 p.m. We got about 27 minutes left in live broadcast. And we're spending a lot of time on the book, Callous Disregard, Autism and Vaccines, The Truth Behind a Tragedy, Andrew J. Wakefield, and of course, forward by Jenny McCarthy. And he's working on a really big story here in the next few weeks that he's hopefully break here after he gets back from Arizona. We're going to leave it at that, probably get Jenny McCarthy here on the show to talk about that as well. But we're blessed to have Dr. Wakefield right here in Austin. But it's not just that I've read the science, read the background, read the research. I've seen all the other studies. I've interviewed other medical doctors who found the same things. I read news all day long. I see similar things coming out all over the world. But finishing up with how this hit piece got written on you, why it got written on you, and how important it is now that you've been able to dig into it and find out that it was completely manufactured. Let's get into the Brian Deere, Rupert Murdoch connection to Big Pharma.
Well, there's, you know, people talk about conspiracy, and let's just put that to one side. Let's just say there's a ruthless, pragmatic effort to protect your bottom line, and that's what matters to you. Protecting policy and profit. And I think that's what we're witnessing here. And so in the UK, What we have is The Lancet, the journal in which we publish this, which is owned by the publishing company Elsevier. The head of Elsevier also happens to sit on the board of GlaxoSmithKline, or at least did when all of this was taking place. Now, that's getting a little uncomfortable, a little cozy, that relationship. Here we have the manufacturer of the vaccine that we're calling into question, and he's in charge of the medical journal that's responsible for publishing our work, and then retracting the work later on. And then we have his brother is a high court judge who dismissed the appeal of parents seeking compensation for MMR vaccine damage.
Unbelievable.
You know, this is all just a little too close.
Well, it's a conflict of interest.
It's a conflict of interest. Then we have the chairman of the panel, Dr. Kumar, who sat in judgment on me and found me guilty, who did not disclose the fact that he is a shareholder, a stockholder in GlaxoSmithKline. Now, the irony of this, Alex, won't be lost on you, because part of the case against me was conflict of interest. And here we have a conflict of interest that was completely undisclosed. And then just a few weeks after the decision of guilty against me and my colleagues, he goes out there and says we ought to mandate, we ought to force children in this country to be vaccinated.
I remember that, and I saw how the media picked up on it. You could tell it was a PR drive. Then I'd read what they wrote about you, and it was hollow. There was no real allegations there. It was just kind of, and then he had a crooked toenail, and then his hair was sticking up one day, and Dr. Wakefield's not too nice. And
yeah, I mean, it lacks substance. It really does lack substance, and it's really a contrivance that is largely...
Well, it's a simple hype, just about, oh, that's been discredited. Everybody knows mercury's good for you. That Wakefield. Please continue.
Well, mercury's a very good example, where they say there are studies after study after study that shows mercury is no problem. You've already talked about the documents that Dan Burton obtained under subpoena showing that there was, in fact, a major problem that they managed to fudge out of the data. But
the Food and Drug Administration, CDC, on record, ABC News reported on it almost a decade ago, 9 years ago. They're in the meeting going, millions have been damaged. We got to cover this up.
That's right. How can we handle this in a public relations way? Not how can we help these children or prevent future children getting damaged, but how can we sell this in a way that gets us off the hook? And then the next thing they do is say, well, there are all these studies out there that show there's no problem. When there's a formal scientific analysis of those studies, 74% support the association between mercury thimerosal preservative and autism.
What about the monkey studies coming out?
Okay, the monkey studies are something I was involved in with the University of Pittsburgh. We designed those studies to look at the effects of the vaccine schedule. Not individual vaccines in isolation, but the schedule. What happens to kids in the real world from hepatitis B on day one right the way through to their preschool boosters, MMR, DTP, HIB, and all those things. What actually happens? What is the long-term consequence of those in terms of the gut and everything else? And the first two papers that have been published on that now show that as early as that first shot on the first day of life, then there are changes to the brainstem, a fundamental part of the brain that controls your breathing and your heart rate and your gut function, everything else, that then you start to damage that from very early on.
Because it's not developed and it's not protected as much at a young age, correct?
That's absolutely right. Absolutely right. It's not protected. It's more vulnerable. It's rapidly developing. And no one has ever done this study before. Why not? Why not? It shouldn't be left up to us to do it years after the...
Well, how many tens of billions are made every year off these vaccines?
Well, it's a $20 billion a year business vaccination, and it's going up. It's the future of the profits of the pharmaceutical industry.
But Rupert Murdoch's involved in this, too. It was his paper that first ran with it.
That's right. Rupert Murdoch, Sunday Times in England. His son sits on the board of GlaxoSmithKline. His son is there to troubleshoot, specifically to troubleshoot public relations problems like this. So it's, again, it's far too cozy for the good of the public.
It's unbelievable. And then meanwhile, they take the most prominent, most well-spoken guy and say, if we can cut the head off this thing, it'll go down in flames. But it hasn't. I mean, even the British Medical Journal last year had to admit that the H1N1 was a fraud and a lie. I had their editor on. I had Wolfgang Wudarg, the head of the EU Commission, who's a doctor, saying how deadly it was, and then the commission found it was bad. I mean, take Bayer Pharmaceutical. Came out 4 years ago that for a decade they knew that their factor VIII blood product had HIV and hepatitis in it and was a death sentence, a debilitating death sentence for everyone that took it. And they made the cold-blooded decision in French court, it came out, globally to ship it to make money. To give you an idea of Big Pharma, whether it's intentional or they're just ghouls who only care about bottom line, regardless, there's so much immunity being given to Big Pharma. Of course you're going to have these problems.
Yes, it's astonishing to me that the people who allowed that to happen with HIV, hepatitis C, allowed to continue in business. It's absolutely extraordinary. Going after me when this kind of unethical practice is taking place is just ridiculous. But they've done it because they also control the media. Not this show, fortunately, but they control a lot of the mainstream media and advertising revenue. So they will say, okay.
Oh, yeah, you don't see drug ads here. Nightly news, half the ads are drug ads. Yeah. You don't hear that here.
They rely on them. They can't function without them anymore. So when they've got me on the show, they just say, give this guy a really hard time, don't let him speak, make a fool of him, get him off.
Okay, well, we're going to break in 4 minutes. We're going to come back in the final segment, get into where we go from here and how serious this scourge is, humanizing this, talking about the children. And you know, like you pointed out, the ones that are really damaged, we notice. What about the general drop in U.S. IQ, British IQ? They've got maps all over the world. Wherever they've been vaccinating heavily, the IQs are dropping. This isn't just kids being lazy, not wanting to learn. They're being brain damaged by something. But expanding on that, if you were back on Good Morning America and they would shut up and give you 4 minutes to talk, what, you know, encapsulizing it all, what would Dr. Andrew Wakefield say to the world?
Put the children first. Above anything else, put the children first. Put the future of this country, put the future of the world first. Before profits, before policy, let's do the right thing by the children. Vaccine safety first. Let's do the studies, let's do the science, let's find out. Let's not squander whatever benefits vaccines may have had by annihilating public confidence in vaccine policymakers because the public have been lied to. And that's what's happening now. And they know they've been lied to. Parents aren't anti-vaccine. What they are is anti-vaccine policymaker because it's they who have been lying to people. And that's got to stop. There's got to be transparency. There's got to be honesty. If a mistake's been made, let's put it right. Let's move on. But if you attrite public confidence in vaccine policy across the board, then you're going to run into major, major problems, and they have only got themselves to blame.
Well, that was a quick summation, but I look at Bill and Melinda Gates and others. In fact, I saw the article earlier in the week. Will you guys print that, the Daily Mail? In Malaysia, they've released genetically engineered mosquitoes that go breed with the same type and then basically genetically engineers it through the next generation to die young. Sounds pretty dangerous to release that open air. They're coming out with DNA vaccines where they, quote, inject hundreds at once. So complex, no one could ever know what this is going to do. We're going to break. I want to come back and talk about the vaccinations, a 400-year-old technology. I'm not saying that there isn't some benefit, tetanus, you name it, but exactly, my children, I've got three of them, never had anything in them, not because I don't believe there could be some good in vaccines, but because if these companies will ship out AIDS-filled factor VIII and mercury-filled shots, I mean, it's Russian roulette with my children.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I'll be live tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central. We've got several guests on with inside intel on what's happening in Egypt, how it's affecting oil prices, the stock market, all the U.S. citizens stuck over there. But I've been spending a lot of time on this vaccine issue because, well, I mean, I go to church, I go to the mall, I fly on an airplane, I take my children to a movie. And look, folks, when I was, 5 years old going to the movie, there weren't autistic children everywhere screaming in the middle of the movie. I mean, this is not fake. This is not made up. This is real. I go to the hike and bike trail, autistic kids all over the place. And these are good people who don't deserve to be brain damaged. These are human beings. And some of them have been seriously damaged. Others, there are ways to try to reverse it or help them. And the system doesn't even want to recognize that this is going on. But we were talking during the break, Dr. Wakefield, the system is in trouble because just like Congressman Dan Burton's grandson got brain damaged by this, and he got mad and went in and got the documents. And just like so many other people are having their children hurt by this, or their grandchildren, or their nephews or nieces, there's an army of angry parents and uncles and aunts and doctors and people that aren't going to put up with this. And the fact that their latest attack on you is blown up in their face just shows that these people aren't invincible. But, you know, I was talking about how every week prominent people reach out to me with what I do. And you were talking about the guy that wrote the, you know, Batman screenplays reached out to you about doing a movie. I mean, we're really capturing the hearts and minds of people because it's the truth. It's real.
Yeah. I'm Johnny Gems, a friend of mine from England, used to work in Hollywood. Wrote Batman, wrote White Mischief, and he was listening to your show. He was listening to your show over in the UK, and he gave me a call and said...
Your mic wasn't on. Repeat that. I'm sorry.
Okay. Johnny Gems, who was a Hollywood screenwriter, wrote the original Batman film with Jack Nicholson, wrote White Mischief. Back in England now, was listening to your show, Alex, and he called me and said, I want to write the movie, and he's written the movie of Callous Disregard. So it's a great show, and it goes out everywhere, but... you know, you're right. They're getting it wrong. The public relations exercise is wrong. They're failing. The Americans, the intelligent, well-read, thinking Americans are just saying, no, there's a problem here. We know there's a problem, not because Dr. Wakefield manufactured it, because we can see it with our very eyes. We know it's happening. You go to schools now, and the school nurse is lining up kids to give them their medication every break time. And they can't go on trips now, as my kids couldn't go on a trip the other day because the parents were so inundated. Sorry, the school nurse was so inundated on the amount of medication they'd have to take and give the kids on the school trip that they couldn't go. They couldn't go. What is going on?
Big Pharma has taken over the schools. 5 years ago, New Freedom Initiative targets to put half the kids in America on psychotropics. It's already at 20%. And they admit that the Prozac-type drugs increase suicide. Then there's more suicide. Their answer is more drugs.
Yeah, I think people have got, we've got to take stock. We've got to stand back and say that something is going very, very badly wrong. Who's actually controlling things here? This is meant to be a democracy, and yet we're being told to do what by the pharmaceutical industry because they're advertising on television and what telling us what drugs we should be going to our doctor and asking for. No, this is all wrong. Medicine has got this completely wrong.
Do you know how the Rockefellers originally made their money? Before the oil, John D. Rockefeller, the first dad, was a snake oil salesman. And he was one of the first to say, I shouldn't just drive my wagon around selling opium, saying it'll grow hair for you or it'll make your ales feel great. Yeah, you drink a bottle of opium, you're going to be laid out. You're not going to be worried about anything. The laudanum, he was the first guy to send out teams to franchise like McDonald's, but wagons and trainloads of snake oil. And if you look at who early on took over medicine in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, it's the Rockefellers. And they've changed medicine. And now through government health care, they're trying to, in the U.S., change what doctors can even do and just follow the edicts of Big Pharma. I mean, it's just, where do we go from here, Dr. Wakefield? Because people are waking up. We see record numbers didn't take the flu shot. The same thing's happening in Europe. And, yeah, there's going to end up actually probably being some real pandemics because of it. But then what do? I mean, do you play Russian roulette and give the vaccines and watch your child drift away, you know, into la-la land? Or do you wait for the pandemic to come because nobody's taking vaccines?
Well, I think that physicians and scientists need to take their responsibilities very seriously, not be, you know, beholden to the pharmaceutical industry because that's who's paying them. They've got to stop that. They've got to stand together and say, no, medicine and science will not be treated like this, will not be bullied, will not roll over in the face of this kind of assault. Stand together and answer the questions on behalf of the patients. Put the patients first, not policy, not profit, and only in that way, if there is a concerted, a united resistance to the pressures put on us by the pharmaceutical industry, then we'll be able to address this question on behalf of the people who matter, and that is the patient.
And by the way, talking about draconian, we saw it in 2009 where they tried in New York and Massachusetts and other places to make people take vaccines. And, of course, that failed because the medical doctors and nurses, they were saying, I'm not taking that stuff. And when I've refused to give my children shots, the nurses will privately go, you're smart. I don't do it either. I mean, we know that something is, you know, cause and effect here is happening. And so what do you see the system doing in the future to try to ram this down our throat? I mean, they're so authoritarian, they're already trying to make us.
Well, one thing that and this may sound anti-American, it's not at all, is that you need to take the profit element out of vaccine production. If you're going to mandate for every child in the country or in the world, in fact, a vaccine, then you've got to make absolutely certain that it's safe. Take the profit motive out of it. If you're the government, the government should manufacture the vaccines. The government should ensure beyond a doubt that the vaccines are safe.
Well, like hire 10 private random companies to study it and, you know, certify it?
Absolutely. And make sure that the safety studies are done before you mandate that vaccine. But as long as that massive profit motive is there, then corners are going to be cut, officials are going to be bought off, there are going to be problems. And
well, I mean, take the sock vaccine. They admit that over 100 million Americans were shot up or swallowed with the oral type, the SV40, which they admit causes all sorts of cancers. That's not debated. I mean, it's how many horrors have we had associated with vaccines?
Well, there was one the other day with the rotavirus vaccine. Now, why did we give rotavirus vaccine in this country? In the UK, it's not used at all. It wasn't intended for this country. It was intended for kids in third world countries. The treatment of rotavirus infection is rehydration. And yet they've got a vaccine which is now mandated for children in this country. And years after it was given to millions of children, they find out that it's got a pig virus in it. And so they take it off the market. The FDA does the right thing. They take the GlaxoSmithKline vaccine off the market. A few months later, they find that the Merck vaccine has got two pig viruses in it, one of which is known to produce an AIDS-like disease in young pigs. What do? They put both of them back on the market to be given to children. That is absolute lunacy. They have absolutely no idea what the medium or long-term consequences of exposure to that virus.
Well, take last year, it happened in Asia, Africa, and Latin America, separate companies, UN programs, oral and injectable polio vaccine that was weaponized. It was live and it killed people. I mean, what's going on with these vaccine makers? Is it just like people running around swinging on chandeliers? I mean, why is it so dangerous?
Well, I think that we know so little. That's the problem. We know so little. And in the face of knowing so little, the answer is to put the brakes on and ask the questions. Instead of that, they're putting more and more and more and more vaccines in. There are some 200 vaccines in testing at the moment to go into children and adults, many of which will be mandated. 200 new vaccines on top of a huge schedule that we know absolutely nothing about. And we talked about the primate studies, the monkey studies. They're showing us that there are problems with the schedule that was used in the early 90s, let alone the one that's...
What's happening to those monkeys?
Well, they're being followed in the long term to see what happens, and they will be followed right out for their... until they, you know, 8 years of age, human equivalent 8 years of age in the first study.
What's the preliminary?
The preliminary is that there is problem. There are problems. There are clear problems in terms of...
So they're acting like fat American couch potatoes.
There is a big problem with these monkeys, and it's a problem...
Whatever happened to Land of the Free, Home of the Brave, and you look at people, and they look like they've been hit by a mutation ray. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, people are scary looking, myself included. The fast food, the additives, the GMO, the mercury, and then they're... I mean, I've seen the news say melamine is good for children.
Yeah, but the good thing, Alex, you've got to realize is that this problem will be solved in this country, and it can only be solved in this country. It couldn't be solved in the UK, and when you come from a country like the UK that is like the old Soviet Union in terms of control, they could shut my research down. They could get rid of me. They could make sure that I lost my license. That's what they could do. Over here, I can get the work done. Why? Because this is still a great country. It's still a great country. There are people who here are philanthropic. They're sufficiently rich. They're motivated. They have a different mindset. If the government say don't...
No, I love America. America is great and wonderful. I'm just saying, look at what they've tried to do to us. Look at our slide. And still in the world, it is the greatest country ever. That's why I love it so much, Doctor, and get so angry when I see people who laugh at people like you and others who do care, who do get involved. If people knew history, they'd understand how hellish it is when good men do nothing. All that evil men and tyrants need to flourish is that good men and women do nothing. It's your choice to expose the vaccine makers for the Holocaust that they have engineered. And the good news is the sleeping giant globally is awakening to this fraud, and the criminals are on the run and engaged in a huge takeover. Dr. Wakefield, thank you for coming in with us.
Thank you.
We'll be right back in retransmission covering the Egypt situation.